If you've got questions about public media funding, we've got answers. Our quick guide explains what's at stake for WSHU, what we know so far, and how you can help. It is all in one place. Just visit WSHU.org.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut towns have until the end of the month to apply for a state Wi-Fi grant. Juneteenth events will take place throughout our region tomorrow. Andrew Cuomo looks to be the frontrunner in New York City's Democratic mayoral primary. Plus, Connecticut's autism community reacts to recent comments from RFK Jr. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garrett. Connecticut towns have until June 30th to apply for a state grant that would help install secure public Wi-Fi services in underserved communities. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
The $10 million in grants are from the state's federal COVID relief money. Lauren Thompson is with the agency that administers the Community Wi-Fi Grant Program.
The goal is to support high-speed, secure Wi-Fi deployment in places where residents need it most, using community anchor institutions like libraries, parks, schools, and other communities.
She says it's the second round of awards, and it's expected to support the build-out of broadband infrastructure in 44 towns and cities, including 10 distressed municipalities. It would also ensure that more than 3,800 additional homes and businesses would be able to access at least 100 megabytes per second of upload and download speeds. About $24 million in grants were awarded in the first round. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
Juneteenth is the celebration of the end of slavery in America, and it's a federal holiday. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports it's also an official state holiday in Connecticut and New York.
It commemorates the day when enslaved people in Texas found out about the official end of slavery 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. As a legal state holiday in Connecticut, some state offices have the option to stay open or close. State courts and the Department of Motor Vehicles, for example, will be closed for the holiday. In New York and Connecticut, all federal offices will be closed. There's no mail delivery. Wall Street is closed. And while banks are not obligated to close, many will. Admission is free to parks in New York State. And there will be various observances and celebrations in both states, including parades, festivals, and educational panels. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
As we reported on the podcast yesterday, a plan to extend Amtrak train service to Long Island and link it to cities along the Northeast Corridor just took a step forward. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more details.
Train service from Long Island to certain East Coast cities has always required taking the LIRR to Penn Station, then transferring to Amtrak. But a plan to link Amtrak service from Ronkonkoma to major cities like Philadelphia and Washington, D.C., without changing trains, just completed the first step of a three-phase study. Gerard Bringman is chair of the Long Island Railroad Commuter Council.
It just makes it a little more convenient in that you don't have to go into Penn and then go to the Amtrak section of the station and then, you know, wait to make a connecting train. This way, once you're on the train, it's a one-seat ride.
The next steps involve figuring out cost and feasibility. Amtrak told Newsday the railroad is committed to the expansion, but the first trip is still years away. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Connecticut families respond to recent claims about the origins of autism from HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. A conversation on that is coming up.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
B Beginning July 13th, WSHU is adding two new music programs to your Sunday nights. Start with Fiesta and the expressive sounds of Latin American and Spanish composers. Then stay for Concierto, a bilingual celebration of classical music's rich Hispanic heritage. Hear Fiesta and Concierto Sunday nights on WSHU starting July 13th. You can explore the full schedule online at WSHU.org.
The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey is urging people not to drive to JFK Airport this summer due to record-breaking passenger traffic and major construction. To help, the AirTrain fare will be cut in half again this year between June 30th and September 5th. Traffic changes will begin this week, especially around Terminal 7, and drivers should follow directions from Port Authority police who will be stationed around the airport. Following the recent announcement of Monger's Market's permanent closure, the property it occupied at Railroad Ave in Bridgeport has been listed for sale at almost $6 million. Owners highlighted the property's potential for redevelopment or continued commercial use. The owner of Brookhaven Town's first legal marijuana dispensary is refusing to shut down, even after a lawyer representing the managers of the Stony Brook Technology Park sent him a letter saying the dispensary breaks park rules by engaging in activities illegal under federal law. While marijuana is legal in New York with a license, it's still banned under federal law. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo appears poised for a political comeback in next week's Democratic primary for New York City mayor. That's according to a new Marist poll. It shows Cuomo is the top choice for 38% of likely voters. A winner will be selected via ranked choice voting. State Assemblyman Zoran Mamdani is second in the crowded field. Poll director Lee Miringoff says Mamdani still has a possible path to victory.
Only if he captures a lot of the undecided and people who are not putting Cuomo nor Mamdani on their ballot.
Marist estimates Cuomo would break the 50% threshold in the seventh round. Mamdani had support from 27% of likely voters, a signal that the race is getting tighter as early voting continues. Connecticut families are responding to the U.S. HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s claims about autism. The Connecticut Mirror's Laura Tillman has done in-depth reporting on this. She spoke with WSHU's Ebong Udama about how the rhetoric could be creating renewed stigma. It's part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
Hello, Laura. How did this story about Connecticut families and their reaction to RFK's comments about the autistic, how did the story come about?
So I think like a lot of people, after RFK held a press conference in April about autism numbers and more broadly about this effort to find an environmental cause of autism, I saw a video that was posted online with some of the cast members of Love on the Spectrum, which is a Netflix reality show about people with autism spectrum disorder who are dating, who are looking for relationships, and some of the cast members of that show were speaking out. It just made me think that there might be a bigger story to be told about how this rhetoric and some of these actions might be impacting people.
So how did you find Emma and Pamela McKeever? First, tell us a little bit about them.
So Pamela and Emma live in Glastonbury, and Emma is an artist. She lives at home with her parents, and she and her mom do a lot of different artistic projects together. And they had some, you know, strong feelings about some of RFK's comments, which prompted Emma to write a poem, and also Pamela wrote her own poem, in fact, kind of in response to some of the things that RFK said, including one of his comments was that, you know, these are children who will never write a poem.
Mm. Now, there's a quote you have here. If you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. And tell us a little bit about that quote itself.
Yeah, so this is a quote from Dr. Stephen Shore, who is an autism, you know, specialist. And I think it's something that you often hear talking to people, whether they're in this community or people who are part of the advocacy, broader community around autism. You know, autism is not a condition that you can see in, you know, a genetic test the way that you might see Down syndrome or some other conditions. It's more something that's diagnosed based on behavior, and it really is an incredibly broad category. Years ago, there were more subcategories in terms of, you know, Asperger's, and but now all of these things are classified as autism. And so it's not a terribly descriptive term in the sense that autism can mean a lot of different things.
Now, RFK, in his comments at the press conference, seemed to indicate that there was some environmental cause to autism and that there'd probably be a cure in the next few months. What does the community feel about those statements?
Yeah, I think just to clarify, he saying that they would identify the cause within the next few months, not necessarily a cure, but I think that even so, it's sort of seems, you know, for people who have been studying this for a long time, there's been a tremendous amount of effort to find the cause, and the research predominantly points to a genetic biological set of causes. So it may not be as clear cut as something like Down syndrome, but there is, you know, a preponderance of evidence talking to scientists who study this that it is primarily something that is genetic rather than environmental. There have been some isolated studies that have shown that a particular, you know, toxin in a particular place has led to a higher incidence of autism. But I think in general, researchers agree that the environment may be a factor in autism, but it is likely to be sort of a very minor piece of the picture. And so that is a concern, I think, also in part because the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has for many years focused in on the possibility that vaccines could be a cause for autism. And so I think there is concern about, you know, continuing to stoke that belief and the fact that that could have very serious effects on people not vaccinating their children.
Well, thank you so much, Laura. Really appreciate your doing this.
Thank you.
Laura Tillman is the Connecticut Mirror's Human Services reporter. Long Story Short comes from WSHU Public Radio and the Connecticut Mirror. Subscribe to the podcast to hear more from Laura about why some Connecticut families, scientists, and healthcare providers worry that RFK Jr.'s rhetoric may be creating renewed stigma around the autistic. Available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Evan Udana.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. As always, please feel free to reach out with any thoughts or story ideas you might have. The best way to get in touch with us is by email, and it's news@WSHU.org. And don't forget to give us a follow on Instagram if you haven't already. We're at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll speak to you tomorrow.